All right, let's be real. What has been the hardest thing about your pregnancy and postpartum journey? Is it the postpartum painful sex that nobody talks about? What are you supposed to do with that? Is it the fact that you might have torn during delivery and you have no idea how to heal now that you're in postpartum? Welcome to the Onas podcast, where we bring on mothers, parents, and pregnant postpartum individuals to talk about their journey and their experiences to give that knowledge back to people that need it. And we are also attached to theonascollaborative.com, which is a free online educational directory where we help moms and parents connect to maternity care providers in their local area. We are here to give the power back to you guys so you have a choice in your journey. We'll have space for midwives, doulas, pelvic floor PTs, massage therapist. And as we continue expanding, we hope that we can support you. All right, we hope you enjoy this podcast. Welcome, welcome, welcome. My name is Erin, and today we have an exciting podcast episode with one of our providers. So her name is Ellen. She is based out of Washington, and she is a doula, childbirth educator, nutritionist, and she's going to be talking to us today about her experiencing dealing with miscarriage, fertility, and what kind of programs she does now working with women on their time between, you know, thinking about conceiving to actually conceiving and getting their bodies ready. So we hope you all enjoy this episode.
Yeah, so I am Ellen Barnard. I'm 33. I'm a mama and a wife, and I have a 2.5-year-old daughter named Willow. And we live in the Pacific Northwest, so Washington State. I am a doula, a childbirth educator, and a women's fertility and hormone coach.
Yes, and I am so excited for today's discussion because it sounds like you have a wide range of services and knowledge that I personally want and don't have yet. So I'm really excited to have this conversation. So I would love for you just to start off by telling us how you got into this work. Like, what actually got you into, you know, becoming a doula, becoming a childbirth educator? Like, what started you out?
Yeah, so I always joke, like, I went to nursing school out of high school, thought I'd be a nurse, got there and was like, whoops, like, no, nope. I didn't want to make any medical decisions for anybody. Like, this is not my jam, life or death stuff, not cool. And I was, you know, 18, didn't know what I really wanted to do. And I was really kind of wanting something with some freedom and something that sounded fun. And I had always been so serious. And so I chose to become a hairstylist. So it was very, very opposite. So I went to beauty school, became a cosmetologist, which means I can do hair, nails, makeup, the whole nine yards. And I was behind a chair for 7 years and felt like I had kind of maxed out in my career early on. I was lucky enough, I guess, to be fairly like naturally talented at it. And, you know, had my kind of my dream in my early 20s was to move back to Seattle, where I'm from, and, you know, work downtown Capitol Hill and like just kind of live that fun, you know, city life. And I found myself kind of doing that at 23 and just wasn't sure what else I was going to do. I just kind of felt tapped out. And so I moved to Hawaii on a whim and and loved Hawaii. It was definitely like where my heart was supposed to be. And I loved the sunshine and it was super casual there. And I really loved that. But then I ended up, you know, working in a salon there. And I was around such passionate people that were very talented. And so they were like in their zone. They loved what they were doing. I liked it, but I just didn't feel fulfilled by it. I loved my clients and I like lived for the connection with my clients. And I, you know, obviously I think everybody can connect with the, like, you tell your hairstylist everything. It's so true. And so I just was, you know, in my mid-20s and hearing women essentially scared of being pregnant, scared of, you know, relationships, or just hearing kind of all my next thought, God, like, this can't be it. And I have a sister 4 years older than me. And she, you know, didn't really, wasn't much better of an example in the sense of like, she really didn't enjoy pregnancy. Like, she had, you know, inductions with both of her girls. And so I just am a researcher by nature. And I started thinking there has to be more to this. And I had a girlfriend at the time who was a nurse and was working in labor and delivery. And we kind of started chatting about doulas. And I was like, what is that? Like, what is that even that role? And she just kind of explained it to me. And I thought, you know, that's non-medical. Like, that sounds great. I could still be, you know, in that kind of women's health space. And yeah, I went to Nepal for 6 weeks backpacking. I took like a sabbatical from work and was just like, I need to get out of here, figure out what I need to do. And yeah, went backpacking for 6 weeks and came back and was just like, I can't do this anymore. I just like couldn't get all dolled up and like put on my, you know, makeup and my do my hair and just kind of show face. And so I pretty radically like ended my career as a hairstylist and became a doula. So I got my certification through DONA. They were kind of the only ones at that point to certify through. And yeah, got my certification and worked for like 2 years as a doula, and then got my certification for childbirth education because I was just seeing kind of a gap with clients. Like, you know, people would hire me and say, oh, I want a natural birth, or, oh, you know, like this is what I want my birth to be. And I realized that the lack of education that they had was really affecting the outcome of their birth. And so, yeah, I got my child.
Sir, are you still in Hawaii at this point?
Not with childbirth ed. So I was in Hawaii for 2 years as a doula and then we moved to Washington. I ended up meeting my husband. We got married in Hawaii, right on the beach, like right before we left. And then he's in the military and he got stationed here in Washington and brought me back to Washington.
Oh, so crazy. He got stationed where he grew up.
I know. And it's so funny because I was like, I met him and I had just gotten back from Nepal and I was like, I'm not trying to date anybody. Like, I don't know who you are, you military guy, like definitely not doing it. And he was like, yeah, I'm going to go to Washington next. And I was like, yeah, good luck. Like, not interested, but yeah, it ended up being worth it and became a thing. So yeah, we're together. And then, so it was funny because like our first, you know, time hanging out and kind of our first date, you know, I joke that him and I had had the conversations of like, listen, like I'm a doula, like I'm having a home birth. Like I'm not circumcising my son if I have one. Like, if you don't agree with any of this, cool. But like, just know that I'm very passionate about this. And he was like, yeah, cool. Like whatever you're passionate about. And I was like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
I was just so, you know, I obviously had dated before him. I was 27 at the point that we got married. And I just was like, no bullshit, you know, like just, I'm very firm in what I want and who I am. And, you know, and he was obviously, that was a part of our relationship was he, respected that and appreciated that. So, yeah, he kind of knew what he was on board for from the beginning. So it did work out. And yeah, we got married and then ended up back in Washington. So the birth community here was amazing. And it was full of, you know, home birth midwives and birth centers and lots of doulas, which was so different from Hawaii. And so yeah, I started working here and I really loved it. But I found myself again kind of educating, teaching childbirth ed and taking doula clients, and just there's still being this gap between, you know, providers telling their clients like, listen, you know, just get on any prenatal's good, you know. And then it was, oh, you know, you don't really have to eat any more calories, or, you know, like there was just so much misinformation. Mm-hmm. And when I started teaching childbirth ed, I had gotten certified through Kappa. And they really allow you to kind of create your own curriculum, which I thought was so great. And so I really went on the hunt for, you know, nutrition and ways to really help clients, especially clients who hired me from early on. You know, there's definitely those people who hire you at 28 weeks, 32 weeks, but then there's people who hire you at 9 weeks, you know? And so I really wanted to be able to support those clients. And I just wasn't finding that information that was well-rounded, you know? And so I certified again, for nutrition and really focused kind of on that, to kind of fill a gap that I felt was there. And then in 2017, my husband and I started trying to get pregnant. And I had been tracking my cycle, like fertility awareness method, since, you know, my mid-20s. I was aware of my body. I knew what my cycle was. I had been off birth control for so long. And, you know, we got pregnant right away because I knew when I ovulated, like it was super easy. And we had a miscarriage at around 11 weeks. It was super traumatic. I was in midwifery care, but like still was new enough here that I wasn't like totally sure the direction I was going as far as was it gonna, you know, where did we want to do, you know, use our insurance and go with a midwifery center, or were we going to do a home birth kind of thing? And so we were kind of in limbo, and it was still early enough. And, you know, our first appointment, they didn't hear the heartbeat, and I should have been 10 weeks. And they said, oh, don't worry about it. But like, if you're worried, you know, you can go in and get an ultrasound. I said, yeah, well, I'm going to, you know, like I can just sit with that. And, you know, I guess I knew deep down looking back, but you know, obviously we went, and I mean, I could literally close my eyes and draw a picture of the room, like just so, so traumatic. And my poor husband, like he had no idea, you know, and he's like trying to be reassuring. And I'm like, no, like I know what happened or is happening. And, you know, the ultrasound tech can't tell you anything. And then the doctor comes in, you know, and tells me that there's no heartbeat, and, you know, it probably was a loss around 9 weeks. And, you know, and that my body essentially was a missed miscarriage. My body wasn't doing it on its own. And so to go to my provider, you know, to my midwife that we had established care with, and talk with her about next steps. And so there just became this weird, like I wasn't established enough in care with them, and they couldn't do, you know, kind of next steps other than their offer was like, you know, you can let your body do it, but if you want to, you know, start the process, you know, we can refer you to a doctor to do that. And so I went that route, you know, and that was super traumatic. I was under the impression she was an OBGYN. She was not. She was a family, like a women's doctor, like a family practice. And so she prescribed the meds, but I just was so out of body that I wasn't advocating for myself. My poor husband didn't know what was going on, really. And it ended up being just back and forth. Long story short, he was gone, on a work trip. He traveled a ton for work at that point. And so, you know, we thought I had, you know, passed everything, had gotten an ultrasound to confirm. And then he left on this work trip, and I ended up, you know, passing a huge mass, and bleeding. So it got pretty bad. And, luckily my dad had been there because my husband had left. My dad had come just in time, and he ended up, you know, rushing me to the emergency room. And I was like, sure, I was dying because I like literally felt gushes of blood. I was, you know, I went through a pad on my way, you know, to the emergency room. I was bleeding on his seat. Like, I mean, it was just super traumatic. And, you know, at the end of that, they said, okay, well, everything's gone. Like everything's good now. And so, you know, went home, and I continued to bleed for a month. And because I was kind of between providers, no one seemed to have any answers, and everyone just kept saying like, oh, wait it out. So I was really done and over that. And so I ended up again at the emergency room. Again, my husband was gone, and my mom took me, and I told them there, I said, if there's still retained tissue and that's why I'm bleeding, like, I want a DNC. I want to be done with this. Mm-hmm. And they said, well, we can't do that for you here at the emergency room. We can't send you for that. You need to call around and find a provider that will get you in for that. And yeah. And so my husband was gone again, obviously. And I was like crying on the phone, calling providers and just being like, I can't wait another week. I can't wait two more days. Like, I need someone today, tomorrow, that's going to get me in. And finally I found somebody, and they got me in, and the procedure was super simple. I mean, I was on my own, which was, again, you know, traumatic. And, but once that was done, it did close a chapter in a way for me, you know. Obviously the bleeding was done, and I just felt like, okay, we're done. But then I turned from kind of like that survival out of my body, like just couldn't navigate it to, okay, like, I'm a researcher. What am I going to do about this? How am I going to fix this? What, you know, like, what was the reason for this? And of course, you know, providers will tell you there's, you know, it's, you're one in four women, like, you know, miscarriages happen. We have no idea how much they really happen because there's a lot of early miscarriages. Women don't even know that they're having. Yeah. And it was just passed off like, well, you know, this was your first try. Like, you know, if you have three, then we'll do more diagnostic work. So yeah, I just wasn't okay with having to kind of just let my body do its thing and see if I was going to have more. Mm-hmm. And I just knew from my foundation of new, like, health already that, I was my healthiest I had ever been at that point. You know, my leanest, my tonest, the most, like, intuitively eating, you know, I was just really at peace with my body before all of that. And so I just was like, this is a warning sign, like, something's not right and I need to figure it out. Yeah. And so, yeah, I just went down the rabbit hole and found a lot of information about, you know, hormone balance and, you know, prepping essentially, you know, for fertility and cycle syncing and really knowing my body on a deeper level. And then came across, you know, genetic information as far as the gene mutation MTHFR. And that has to do with, like, your detox pathways. And if you have that, you're likely to have, like, early miscarriages, because it can create clotting issues. And so I had to pay out of pocket to get that done. And because it's just not covered by insurance. And so I got that done and started seeing a naturopath and just started really connecting a lot of the dots of, like, my past health issues. You know, I had PCOS growing up, and obviously that stays with you, but just kind of understanding what that really meant outside of just nutrition.
Yeah.
And understanding, you know, obviously I had been charting for years at this point, but really understanding my body as it's, like, a cyclical system and not just like, oh, okay, I got my period. Oh, okay, I'm ovulated, you know, kind of like connecting more of my symptoms and connecting more of the dots. And that genetic component was a big deal. I ended up having both variants of it. And so I spent a year, like, really nourishing and healing my body and found that there's this foundation of hormone balance and, you know, essentially gut health and inflammation that have to be addressed. And we, you know, spend a year prepping for our wedding, but we don't even think about prepping our bodies for pregnancy.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I ended up after that year, first try, we got pregnant with my daughter. It's a whole different story as far as her traumatic kind of entrance. Mm-hmm. As far as, you know, we got testing with her and they said, oh, your progesterone's low, your HCG's low, like, you're probably not going to keep this baby either. We ended up having her, obviously, and everything was fine throughout my pregnancy, but the beginning of it was pretty traumatic and scary. But I went on to have a beautiful pregnancy. I mean, I loved being pregnant. I was that annoying person that, like, glowing pregnant. Mm-hmm. I could have been pregnant forever. I just loved it. And we, with that, you know, with that pregnancy, had decided, like, I was establishing care from the go with exactly who I wanted. I had been in the birth community longer at that point. I knew this area better. And so I chose an awesome midwife and we decided to do a home birth. And I just felt so much more grounded and rooted in my choice at that point and a lot more supported. And yeah, I had a beautiful home birth, under 12 hours and that was a whole trip in itself and a whole story. But yeah, it was beautiful and I loved birth. And then, you know, postpartum, that's its own journey too. We had a lot of struggles with my daughter, because she most likely has that same gene mutation. She actually has had a tongue tie and lip tie, which is part of how that gene can kind of express and show. And so she had a tongue tie, lip tie, and that was, a big struggle. We ended up having to get her a feeding tube. She lost a pound after birth. Luckily she was a big girl. She was 19 inches, but she was almost 9 pounds. And so
She had a little bit of weight to lose, but she got into a scary number, and we ended up doing, like I said, doing the feeding tube, and, you know, but I pushed through. We breastfed for 19 months and I had all of the breastfeeding complications you could have. But that was really important to me. So I was really lucky to have a lot of support around breastfeeding. But you know, in that year, really after she was born, I just really started kind of sitting in my journey and like everything I just kind of told you, you know, it's like, it all kind of came together for me. And I realized like, there are so many more doulas now, there's so many more childbirth educators. I mean, when I first started, I felt like I was one of five, you know, yeah. And at this point, you know, 2018, there was so much more and people were so much more aware. But what was still so underserved was this like preparation of, and when I shared my miscarriage story, I had so many women reach out and so many women come to talk to me and confide in me. And it really just made me see, like, we've been told like so many times over and over that you're just going to have to see what happens, right? Like there's nothing you can do about PCOS. There's nothing you can do about infertility. There's nothing you can do about endometriosis, you know, and it's not true. And, you know, there are obviously a place for IVF and IUI, and I'm not here to knock the medical community in that sense, but we still need to have that foundation for hormone health and gut health and inflammation. And, you know, that all has to be there for our bodies to be prepped and primed. Yeah. So there's just, I feel like a lot of disconnect with our bodies, not only in pregnancy, you know, but in postpartum, even in birth, obviously, you know, that's why I became a doula, but there is this huge disconnect with our bodies and how intuitive we can be with it and how it's this cyclical being. And we are so disconnected that we don't even see that we can really create a great foundation for health. And, you know, if we're in our menstruating years, like we need to be ovulating, and regardless of if you want to have a baby or not, you can still ovulate and not get pregnant. But we need to be really fostering that fertility. And so I, you know, after she was born, created essentially a group coaching program to really help women who want to manage their PCOS or endometriosis, you know, manage and say goodbye to PMS and understand their body and connect with their body and understand what it means to be living optimally as a female. And so, yeah, I created this 12-week group program called the Harmony Hive, and it's definitely where I'm supposed to be. I've never felt more grounded in what I'm doing, because I think that there's just such a disconnect. And so it's just so beautiful helping women, you know, have these aha moments. And all I'm doing is facilitating with, you know, the knowledge that they should have gotten, like we all should have gotten in health class that we didn't. And so just really helping them understand their bodies, connect with their bodies, and then learn those foundational steps to, you know, create healing and create homeostasis with their bodies. And, you know, watching them have these aha moments and, you know, lose weight and, you know, get their periods back, or, you know, they're tracking their cycle and they're finally ovulating, you know, they're getting pregnant, all of those kinds of things. Those wins are all so huge. And so it's sad to me that that's not our foundational health, like that we're not taught that. But yeah, I love that I get to do that now. And so it's kind of a culmination of all of my years of work, really from the beginning, even as a hairstylist, you know, without that, I don't know that I would have gotten here. So yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. Going back to the hairstyling school, I feel like as a hairstylist, you get so much more of what's going on in people's lives than most other professions. And I feel like that's pretty much the start of your story. And firstly, I wanted to say that I love how much you just knew who you were. It looked like you just always jumped into stuff. And you're like, yep, I'm going to do it. That's what I want to do. And I love it. It's so just,
yeah, I know. It was terrifying. Yeah. But I mean, I think the move at 23 really, you know, it was like, shoot, if I don't do this now, like I'm never going to be able to do it. Right. Because I always wanted to be a mom. I, you know, I just knew that if I established my career more there, I would never leave because I was making great money at 23, you know? And so was I ever going to pull that trigger? And I had to do it then. So I did it then, but yeah.
I love that. And secondly, I also wanted to say, I'm so sorry about your miscarriage. This is something that we're seeing a lot more often. And you had said that it was quite traumatic. And I'm just sorry that you've had that experience. And it also sounds, even just trying to get support coming out of it was horrendous. Like when you had said you had gone to the emergency room and they were like, well, we can't do it here. You're going to have to call around. That's not an acceptable answer at all. And I'm really sorry that you had to go through that experience, because then they just sent you home. You're still dealing with this and you're having to do what really they could have done at the emergency room. They should have been able to at least give you support and find the provider to book an appointment so this could be handled. Because I can't imagine the stress of going through that, especially when your partner wasn't there.
Yeah. And I think it's just, that is such a huge part of it. And now where, you know, I really help women navigate through that, the amount of misinformation that's given to women through miscarriages, you know, obviously in all of those areas, but really like, we're just left to like, okay, well, like see what happens, like keep trying. And it's at what expense, you know, like those doctors did not even think about what that meant for me, you know, like what that meant to advocate for myself when I was literally outside of my body. Like, I just remember the whole experience by literally looking at myself. Yeah. So, I mean, I work with women to help them navigate through it, you know, and to not have to sit with the so much of the unknown. And a lot of the feedback I get is that they feel so empowered to have the knowledge, you know, to know what testing to ask for, you know, when their provider's like, no, it's fine. And it's like, okay, well, I'm going to advocate for myself and say, this is the testing I want done. So please do that. Right. So there very much comes that doula role, to really help them advocate for what is just like their rights, right? Like they have the right to get a full thyroid panel. Like that should not be a special request. And so just kind of walking them through that, but then also really helping them connect the dots of their health. You know, like if I would have had somebody in my 20s say, okay, listen, you've been on birth control for 8 years now, and you know, you have PCOS, like this isn't solving the issue. This is only masking the issue. And here's how to live symptom free with that. You know, like it would have been such a different conversation when I went to get pregnant. I would have had a truly balanced body instead of being thin and toned and thinking that and I ate well, you know, and that's all I thought healthy was really, you know, and I didn't realize what was missing. So yeah, it's a big area to serve, but it's very rewarding and I'm very passionate about it.
Yeah. And I'm just glad that you're able to hold this space for so many women, because I actually suffer from endometriosis and I was on, I think I was on the pill for like something like 13 years. And it wasn't until I came across Dr. Jolene Brighton and I was like, oh, the pill actually isn't fixing anything. And no wonder I'm still in pain and I've been on the pill this entire time. So I actually track my cycle now. And it's so amazing how much information you get from tracking and then where that can lead you on to figure out what's going on in your foundation as your overall foundational health. But unfortunately, like conventional medicine does not look like that. They don't prioritize it. And it's so frustrating. So it's amazing that you get to hold that space and help people in preparation. Because I think you're right. When the doctor said, you know, what did you say? Like try 3 more times. And then if it's
not,
we'll look into it. No, that should not be the answer at all, ever. Because the thing is, like you said as well, is that would be you having to relive this traumatic experience. Like that's
right.
All these women having to relive that, and that's not fair. So I think it's amazing that you're offering this program. And sorry, I wanted to go back and ask one question before we move forward. So you said, did you end up having the MTHFR?
I did. Yep. I have both variants.
And so did you say that was connected to a tongue tie?
Yeah, it's connected to tongue tie lip ties.
That's interesting, because one of the things I've been noticing, because I'm a nanny and also just from having women on the podcast, tongue tie seems to be a really common thing now. That seems to be a common issue.
Yeah. Oh man, we could go down that rabbit hole too. So a big part of it is that they assume that 40% of our population has MTHFR. So there's two variants, and essentially a big part of it is that for the longest time we thought that folic acid, right, so the synthetic vitamin that we created instead of folate, was thought to be just as good. And so we fortified, you know, our products in the US with it. So most grains, gluten, packaged food, I mean, sometimes spices, it's in a lot of things. And so it's fortified and stuff. And when you consume it, your body actually blocks your receptors from being able to take in the natural form of folate. And so when you're eating healthy, like I was, but I was taking, you know, folate prenatal, and I was, you know, or folic acid prenatal, and like, I was still eating foods that I didn't realize had folic acid in them, because I didn't know that that wasn't good. You know, and so we're flooding our bodies with it, and we're not actually absorbing folate. And so a lot of us are very folate deficient. And that in turn, you know, if we have one of the gene mutations, like the markers of that gene mutation, or the variants, excuse me, we, it then in turn affects our methylation pathways. It affects our detox, and so then that also is, you know, shows in linear defects in people. So when you're born, you know, you're likely to have a tongue tie, lip tie, the stork bite, the blue vein, and Willow had all of them. The only thing she didn't have was the sacral dimples. She didn't have those, so she had everything else.
So sacral dimples are also one as well.
Yeah, so it's linear defects. So think like midline, right? So it's tongue tie, lip tie, and then the stork bite that is generally on the eyes, or the in between, kind of the like on the forehead between the eyebrows.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's also that blue vein. So she has a very bright blue vein. Her stork bite's gone now, but you can also see the stork bite on the back of their necks. So you can see her still there.
Why have I never heard of this connection? That makes me so angry.
Believe me. I'm like, sometimes I have to really reel it back. So I'm like, everybody doesn't want to know everything. Like,
that's insane.
But yeah, I felt gypped. Yeah. I felt really, really gypped, because, you know, I mean, and it's like, not until we had the conversation of like with my husband's mom, and she was like, oh yeah, like Dave was such a bad like breastfeeder, you know, his latch was terrible and all that. And back then they weren't diagnosing that, but also like we eat so much more fortified foods now that we're just screwing up our body. And so I do think that that's a big connection. Also, I think women now are, you know, their kids are getting actually checked for it, versus before, like my husband, you know, he wasn't even checked for it. His mom didn't know anything about it. All she knew was he was not a good nurser, and so she didn't nurse him as long as her other kids, you know. So I think there's a lot of different connections there, but it's like, one, we're aware of it more, but two, you know, if 30 to 40% of our population has one of the variants,
yeah,
the likelihood is huge. So
yeah, that's incredible knowledge that I did not have. And thank you for sharing that. I think a lot of people will find that very helpful. I can't believe I've never heard that. That's good to know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I wanted to ask you, when it comes to your group coaching program, what are some of the things you like to focus on? I obviously don't want you to share too much because it's your program, but if people were looking to sign up, what would that look like?
Yeah. So the program, we really go over that, you know, that homeostasis, that foundational health. And what that really looks like is it's broken up into the 3 months. So three phases. So really like that first month, we're getting to know our bodies. So if you're not already tracking using fertility awareness method, I do teach that. So I'm teaching you about your cervical fluid, about your, you know, basal body temperature, how to chart what that looks like and how to use that as a fifth vital sign. And like you kind of mentioned before with your own journey with charting, it's like, wow, huh. Okay. And I actually understand my body, and we can, you know, pass that down to our girls too. I have a lot of moms who join who are having girls that are, you know, menstruating or going to be soon. And they, you know, they want it for themselves, but they want it for their daughters because they want to show them that birth control pills are not the only option. And that they, you know, kind of dispel some of those myths of like, you can get pregnant at any point, right? Like, so to understand what's going on in your body is important. And so I teach that, and I teach cycle syncing. So the idea of cycle syncing is that within our cycle, we have four phases. And so we have our, you know, bleed that we start with, we have our follicular phase, we have our ovulation, and then our luteal phase. And so within those phases, we need to nourish our body differently. Yep. To really support our hormones. We need to essentially work out by phase as well, because of what our energy is like. And then we really need to, I say self-care, but it can be work, self-care, just mindset around your cycle. So we have this idea that we're supposed to wake up every day and work out and, you know, eat the same foods and do the same things. And if we eat a salad every day, we're doing right by our body. And this was a huge one for me where I realized, oh my gosh, okay, wait, I'm not supposed to be eating a salad every day for lunch. That's not serving my body when I'm in my menstrual phase, right? Or whatever. And so just that connection of like, what foods does our body need at those different phases? How can I nourish my body? And then also, how can I let go of, you know, as a type A person, how can I let go of this perfectionism and understand that my body is cyclical and not this robot, and then I can't expect it to perform the same way every single day. And that when I channel what energies my body is actually giving me, then I can really, really utilize that. And I let go of a lot of that guilt, and I can really live in harmony with my body instead of really fighting against it. So that's huge. And then, you know, I just teach women like macros, for fertility, and, you know, insulin balance for, you know, just really a good foundation for nutrition. And then that's all in the first phase. So it's a lot. And then, you know, the second phase, we talk about gut health, toxicity, you know, living low tox, but also really helping those, you know, that MTHFR factor, that detox pathways that we have, like how to support them, not just like, oh, my liver will do it all, you know, just really understanding how our liver can be not functioning at its prime because it's really overworked with our world, you know, these days. And so I help women understand their bodies in that sense, you know, really get to the foundation of gut health, and understand how that's really our second brain, and how big of a deal your gut health is. And then in the third phase, we talk about stress and sleep, self-care, you know, really, protocols for kind of deeper dives into your health. So if, you know, you've laid the foundation for health, you know how to eat, you know your body, you understand your body, your gut health is good, you've done all of those things to manage your stress, and live, you know, lower, tox, now what, right? So what can you do? How can you advocate for further testing? You know, what type of providers should you see? What type of testing should you get done, you know, and be able to navigate the journey a little bit better with a very strong foundation, so that when you go to those providers, you're really just trying to find those root causes of remaining symptoms, if there are any.
I love this. Yes, this is so important, because I love the way you've aligned it. So like, it starts with FAM, cycle syncing, learning your body, macros, and learning about insulin balance, which most of us are not balanced. And then gut health, yeah, leading later on. Cause do you find that most of the time, by the time you get to the end, most people have recovered from most of their symptoms, or reduced their symptoms? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And I also, keep going.
Oh, I was just going to say, yeah, I think it's like 3 months, you know, three cycles, like, you know, usually things are good. Nothing, no one's perfect. And I always say that, like, there is no perfection required, but it is, once you understand what your body's showing you. I mean, my favorite is when I have girls who are like, oh my God, I would never cut out gluten, or I would never think that my body had sensitivities. And then, you know, they cut it out and they're like, oh my God, like I go to reintroduce this and clearly my body is angry at this. Or, you know, women who have plateaued at a weight and cannot lose, you know, and I'm telling them to eat 500 more calories than they were eating before, mm-hmm. you know, in a different macro balance, and they're losing weight effortlessly, you know? So yeah. And we have, you know, Harmony had babies, and that's obviously the most rewarding, but not everybody that comes to me is looking to get pregnant. You know, there is kind of a, like I'd say half, half and half usually per group.
Yeah. But even just fertility, even if you're not trying to get pregnant, like FAM and all of these things are so important just for a healthy foundation of your hormones, your entire body and your system. And I just also love that you're able to teach FAM. That's incredible. When I first started tracking, I wanted to add this to this episode. When I first started tracking, I have endometriosis, fibroids, and cysts. So my reproductive organs are all over the place. I think that my luteal phase was 9 days with 2 or 3 days of spotting. And after 2 years of really, really working hard on all of these things that you have listed out, I am up to 13 days. And I used to be down for 8 hours a day for my period pain. And now probably like a 2 out of 10 for an hour. Like that's the max pain I get. So all of these things are very, very important. Progesterone levels, estrogen levels, just learning your body. This is incredible. I think that what you're offering is so, so important. And I haven't seen anyone else doing it. So that's
awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that there's, you know, I tend to be an overachiever. I think it was hard for me kind of putting this program together, and it, you know, my first like beta group, bless those girls, because they like, I was like, oh my God, here's all this information, you know, and it's definitely, it has a flow now for sure. But I think there's a lot, like I could just teach the first phase for 3 months. You know what I mean? Like it could be its own program, but I have a hard time doing that because it's like, well, but also like this, right? Like your gut health really matters. And some of these symptoms that you're experiencing because you're still using Bath and Body Works, you know? And like, so it's, there's a lot of things where I have to like all the girls who work with me. It's so funny, you know, like I'm sure there's so many times where they'll ask me a question. I'm like, okay, hold on, give me a second. Cause I have to like, I just like explained way too much. So it is a lot of information. And a lot of times when I'm talking to women, it's like, and you know, it's like you spent years doing this. Mm-hmm. And when you do it yourself, it's so hard to know what the direction is and know what steps to implement and to make it doable and not all consuming. And I joke like, you know, thank God I, you know, had a miscarriage first and was already working for myself. Like I had my own business because I cannot imagine I was consumed by this for a year. You know what I mean? Like I just healing my body for that year in between our miscarriage and my daughter. Like it's really like, aside from taking birth clients, it's all I did. Mm-hmm. And there's that much information, you know, like, so this foundation is, other people are teaching these things, but not really all together. And I think it is that total foundation that is necessary. And it's hard. And that healing comes so much faster when you're incorporating all those things together versus like, okay, I'm going to read this book and I'm going to start applying this. And then it's like, okay, fertility awareness itself, when you don't have someone like helping you and walking you through it is, I mean, I remember starting. It's mind blowing. It's so simple to me now, but it is mind blowing in the beginning.
Yeah, it is. It's a whole nother journey, but I think you're right. I personally have not seen another course that has all of these in it. So I think that's what's truly incredible, that you're able to incorporate all of that. And how often does this program run?
I run it every 2 months. So the groups overlap for a month, but we have our own like call dates and stuff. And so the structure of it is, like I said, it's a group. So we have a group Facebook page where, you know, most of our kind of check-in light stuff is, we'll have guest speakers in there. And then we have weekly calls. So we have team calls once a week and they're recorded. So I always say like, if you're in a different time zone, it's okay. And you can always come back to them, but we have, you know, guest speakers, or I'm teaching on whatever important information we have at that point or questions that we have. And so we have that group call once a week, and then they have all of this, like I said, by phase. So that phase one information they get that first week of that first month, and they get it all, access to all the modules. So there's video modules where I'm talking through it. There's eBooks, there's printouts, there's so much. Just to really make it, I mean, adult learners, like, thank God I was a childbirth educator first, because adult learners, like, we just need to see the same information like 17 times in 17 different ways. Yeah. So I try to like give it all in different ways so that we really can you know, really let it sink in and apply it. And so you have that through a program called Podia. And so that's all in there, printable, all of that. And then, yeah, we do our weekly calls. And then we have that Facebook group. And we have a group chat as well for just fun wins and chit-chatting about random grocery store finds and whatever it is. But yeah, so I'm pretty accessible, which is also things that you don't find in programs. I think a lot of times the setup is very hands-off. And so I try to be really available just because I'm so passionate about it. And I know how it feels to be in all of it and to be so overwhelmed by it. So I really try to be as accessible as I can for my girls.
Yeah. And I think you're also right. It's also about giving them that constant support, especially when it comes to fam and cycle syncing, because a lot of questions will come up. Like, obviously they'll read it and they'll be like, wait, I need to ask this question. Where can I get her? So it's really awesome that you're able to hold that space of being so hands-on as well. And if anyone is interested in learning more about your program, how can they find you in this information?
Yeah. So I'm super active on Instagram. I have a website, called yourharmonyhive.com. And so you can go there and get info about the program and about me. And then I do free consults. So I really, really try to push this. I don't know how I'm not booked every single day, all day. But it's like a free consult to just say like, hey, this is where I'm at. How does this apply to me? You know, like this program sounds really great, but like, I don't really know if I need it, you know, or maybe I do need it, but like, how is this really going to fit into my life? And so I really like chatting with women and being able to connect those dots, you know, and connect those puzzle pieces really of their health. Where like, you know, for you, for example, you know, back in the day, just talking about how like endometriosis is not a death sentence, right? Like we're just so, my endometriosis girls, I feel so strongly for, because it's like, you're really just told by doctors, like, this is it, like, you're going to just suffer. And you're not really shown anything else. And so that's always where I really like to explain how all of this is so interconnected to the symptoms you're experiencing. I mean, even people where it's like, oh, I didn't know that I wasn't supposed to bleed, you know, like spot bleeding on, you know, into my period and off of my period. Like, I didn't even know that was a thing, or that like PMS isn't normal. Like I blow people's minds all the time with like, yeah, you're not actually supposed to have like terrible periods. Like you're not supposed to dread it. You're not supposed to have crazy mood swings. Like those are all signs of your body like being out of homeostasis. So yeah, so I do free consults. So that link is up in my link tree, or it's on my website. And then on Instagram, I'm ellen.r.barnard. So yeah, you can find me there.
We want to thank Ellen so much for coming on this week. It's been an absolute honor to hear her story, learn a bit more about her, and just so, so excited. So if you are interested in reaching out to Ellen to ask her any questions or even find out more about her program, you can find her website at www.yourharmonyhive.com or even on Instagram at ellen.r.barnard. So thank you so much for all that information. There was so much I didn't know, like the gene mutations and tongue ties. How many people, you know, knew that? Did you guys know that? Like, I don't know. Just blew my mind. And if you're interested in coming onto the podcast yourself, feel free to email us at hello@theonuscollaborative.com. If you are a provider wanting to come on the podcast, make sure that you sign up for our directory for free, and then we will get you all set up. All right. Thanks for visiting, and we will see you all next week. Bye.